I'm teaching this series, and I mean the Lord got me on this, talking about planting, because it's necessary. It says necessary. Because what's lacking a lot of times in our life, we don't understand the process of things. We do a lot of stuff, but we don't understand the process. And we need to know what happens and why we need to wait and why we need to do things a certain way, why we must continue to do them over and over again. Because the process has to be finished. You know, if you ever went to a hairstylist and they give you what they call a perm, you know, there's a process, right? You don't let them put the stuff in your hair and in the middle of it and you jump somewhere. You know what? I think I'm ready to go home, and they don't wash it out. You on your way to be what? Bald-headed. Because you wouldn't let the process be finished. How many of you know some of you are on your way to bankruptcy spiritually because you won't allow the process to finish? See, there's an end to every process. And you should have victory at the end of the process. That's what's been designed for you. Amen? Now, let's go back and just reestablish some of the points that were said out of this. And we said, first of all, we said, what was the seed? The word is the seed. Absolutely. And then we said that your faith goes where you place your attention. You can find where your faith is based on where your time, energy, and money is spent. That's where your faith is. Go back and check where you spend the most money, the most time, and the most of your energy. That's where your faith is. Because that's where your treasure is. We said the treasure is the what? Faith. Mm-hmm. Then we said, until the word of faith is planted into the soil of your heart, you can't eat from it, you can't spend it, and you can't use it the way you have been trying to use it. It is unusable when it's in seed form. It's designed to be planted. Amen? Then we said the word has to be planted first. And that has to be done deliberately. Why? Because you must shoot it like a target, a missile rather. You must plant it as a missile because it is targeting a specific thing in your life. And we share with you how, if you want healing, you plant the seed of what? Healing. And then we also said the word, which is seed, gives money its identity. Hallelujah. And we told you that your giving and offering is supposed to be proof that you have sown seed already. And then one of the things said that all that is left to complete the cycle is what? Praise and worship. Because that is like fertilizer and rain together, giving the word seed sown what it needs to root and to become what you expected. Oh, Jesus. All right. Turn your Bibles back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading at verse 1 again. And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now we identified the sower in this case as the what? As the preacher or the teacher who is standing behind the pulpit. They are the sower. Seeds are being sown. Seeds are being sown. What kind of soil are you? Because that's going to determine what happens to the seed that's being sown this morning. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Woo. In other words, this word didn't even get planted. And there's a reason why. Like many people, when word seed is being sown, this type of person wasn't even paying attention. They were sitting in the congregation, but not paying attention. You know, you're thinking about where you got to go, what you're going to eat, what, you know, next week, your job. You're not even paying attention. So that seed never gets sown. Oh, Jesus. And it says that type of person, they're not paying attention. There's a reason why they're not paying attention, because they don't plan to plant it. They didn't come to plant seed. They came out of, what's the word I'm looking for? Rituals. Coming to church is what they do. They're not coming to plant. See, it's a different attitude when you're going somewhere to learn versus when you're just showing up, because you know it's expected for you to be there. And I know. Look at Genesis 25. Verse 29. When you have it, say, I have it. See, we're going to see the story of Jacob and Esau, because Esau had a problem. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Look at verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. So Esau, we know the Edomites came from Esau. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, see, he did not pay attention to the birthright. He thought it was, oh man, let me just keep right on. Watch this. I am at the point to die. Hey, how many of you know he wasn't going to die from starvation? And what profit shall this birthright do to me? You see the attitude? He had, you see the attitude about it. He was so stuck on what he wanted at the moment. He didn't see the benefit of having the birthright. All he wanted was something to eat. Ooh, Jesus. And Jacob said, verse 33, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, it's amazing if you read the story about Jacob and Esau in other books, I mean, other chapters further on. Esau is angry. Why did he get angry when he sold it? See, because I'm going to tell you why. Because the mindset he had about it, look at, just turn to chapter 26. Now, he sells his birthright. Look at verse 34. See, doing, getting out of the will of God, surrendering the word when you're not paying attention, it's going to cost you something. Esau didn't even know how to make right decisions, because he gave up. He surrendered the blessing. The blessing is designed to help you in all areas of your life. Watch this. And it says, and Esau was 40 years old when he got married. He took a wife, Judith, the daughter of the Beerite, the Hittite, and Bashmath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So his dad and mama was not in agreement with the person he married. He was way outside of the blessing. So he married wrong. You better hear me. So when the word is coming to you about anything, you need to take that word and apply it, because that seed that's coming to your life, don't act like you don't need it because it's not directly dealing with something you think you need to hear the word on today. You should take every seed when you come into church. You should take the word and plant it. You may not need the harvest today, but you might need it in 30 days. You might need it next week. So his parents or Esau rejected the blessing for food. See, just like the five foolish virgins, Esau thought that the blessing would be there to use when he got ready to use it. That's like a lot of people. They just think God going to show up when they're ready to be bothered with God. And when he doesn't, they're disappointed. As though God don't have a right to say no. You got him on your call list when you want to call him. And he said, it doesn't work like that. You need to talk to me every day. If you want me to be involved, this is not a on call when you want to call me. Like some children do their parents. They call them when they feel like it. It should be a part of your lifestyle of talking to a parent. It should be a part of your lifestyle. It don't mean you got to be in their face every day, but it should be a part of who you are to communicate with your parents. You shouldn't go months and months and months and months and never speak. Something wrong with this. And sometimes you want to say, well, I don't have nothing to say. You know, they just old and set in their way. And one day you're going to be old and set in your way. And that same kid you brought in the world gonna say to you, I don't want to be bothered. Because you're sowing a seed now, you're planting something that's gonna turn into a tree. So we see that he rejected the blessing for food. But then when he was ready to use it, he did not have it. However, the word says that the day you hear his voice, his word is his voice. Don't harden your heart against the word. Because the word of God, which is the seed that has to be sown, that is the voice of God. You may never hear an audible voice of God talking to you, but you got his voice in his word. We so busy trying to look for the spectacular, we miss what takes us to the next level. We miss it because we're trying to look for something spectacular. You know, a voice, you know, you hear somebody say, the Lord spoke to me, and you're trying to get that. Get this in you first, and he'll start talking to you because this is his voice. Hebrews 3, 12 through 19 talks about how that we must wait to hear his voice. Turn there, Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 19. And I want to read this out of the Passion Translation. Hebrews 3, 12 through 19. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray, just like it did with Esau, and make you unresponsive to the living God. See, you can come to church so much and tune God out, not pay attention, that you don't even know that you are unresponsive to God. You just think about God, and then when it's time to deal with God, you have no word. You don't even know how to operate with God. For this is the time, for this is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. For we are mingled with the Messiah. If we will continue unshaken in this confident assurance from the beginning until the end. For again, the scriptures say, if only today you would listen to his voice, pay attention to his word, pay attention to his word, because his word is his voice. Don't make him angry by hardening your hearts as you did in the wilderness rebellion. The same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled because they wouldn't pay attention. They wouldn't plant the word. They grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief until they dropped dead in the desert. So God swore an oath that they would never enter into his common place of rest, all because they disobeyed him. They wouldn't pay attention to the word. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance although it was theirs. The inheritance was theirs. But they wouldn't pay attention. Esau had an inheritance. He was the firstborn, and the blessing was his by birthright. And he wouldn't give it the place and the position that it should have had in his life. Therefore, he chose, he married wrong because his parents were dissatisfied with him. He married outside of covenant. In other words, he went to marry sinners like so many believers do today. Think they're going to transform a sinner once they marry him and end up with an albatross. And you never get them to come to agreement with what you want to be spiritually. See, you can't do this thing backwards and then think God gonna honor it. Now he can fix it, but somebody got to change for it to be fixed. Somebody got to come into agreement and take this word and plant it for it to work if it's ever gonna get healed. You can't keep following sin and think you're gonna get God's result. It's not gonna happen. He says, it is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. See, this, listen, not paying attention to the word creates unbelief. Because you'll hear what it takes to succeed and you won't believe it because you won't do it. Ooh, Jesus. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Let's go to verse 5. Hallelujah. See, you are the sower this morning. I'm the sower. You're the sower. What kind of soil are you this morning? What kind of soil are you this morning? Because it's determining how this seed that I'm sowing will enter in or if it ever gets planted. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Turn to Proverbs 13:23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that it destroyed for want of judgment. In other words, abundant food is in the fallow, uncultivated ground of the poor, but without protection, it is swept away by injustice. Jeremiah 4:3, you don't have to turn there. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Oh, so some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. But watch this. Oh, Jesus. See, that stony is like a hardness. Let me get down to my notes because then I can show you what it says. Hosea 10:12-13. Turn there real quick. We're going to read that. Hosea 10:12-13. I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. Plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will reap a crop of my love. Plow the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower salvation upon you. But you have cultivated wickedness and raised a thriving crop of sins. You have earned the full reward of trusting in a lie, believing that military might and great armies can make a nation safe. So what is we saying? What am I saying here? In planting the word, your will and your mind is involved. You got here it is. Whenever you start planting, your will and your mind is always involved. Most people see a little daylight like that little they was planted. And then they stop the watering cycle. Once they see a little green leaf and a little plant, they think it has roots. Because there are some species of plants that as soon as they get in the ground, they begin to bud a little. But that does not mean they have rooted. You got to hear this. So in planting the word, your will and your mind is involved. Most people see a little daylight. They start tithing and giving, and then this stuff started getting aligned, and then they stop the water cycle. They start missing tithing. They start missing a giving cycle, whatever. See, the mind is fallow ground. You got to hear this. Your mind is your fallow ground. The mind doesn't know yet about the plan of God for you. That's hidden in you, the spirit man. Therefore, you have to keep watering the mind because it's fallow ground and it has no revelation of who you are yet. So you have to keep watering it so the fallow ground can become pliable and submit to the new plan that is in you. So it has to get to a place where it submit to the will or to the new architectural design that is waiting to be developed and seen in and through you. Because there's a plan that's waiting to be built, but your mind is resisting because it's fallow ground. It has no knowledge of God. We'll stop playing these word games, mind games, when you understand your mind does not have a knowledge of God on its own. It has to be trained. And you do that by doing the same kind of watering every single day. Some things require watering. I have some plants that need more water than another one. You need to know your watering season. That is probably the longest process in planting because you got to keep right on watering. Why? Because according to Mark 14:38, it says to watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. What flesh are they talking about? Your mind. Your mind is fleshy and is weak. It has no power. That's why you can't let everything just lay there and you just keep thinking about it. No, that's not the way of the believer. It says, the spirit is always willing to obey God if you are born again. But your flesh, that mind, is weak. The watering process is absolutely necessary. So the watering of the word is like washing away the hard places that has calcified over time. So in your mind, you got hard places. You got traditions. You got all kinds of nonsense in your mind that has to be washed away by the washing of the word. Nothing can cleanse it but the word. Nothing can get rid of the calcification but the word. That's the assignment of the word. It's to get in there and keep washing it. You know, even a mountain can be destroyed if water consistently hit it. That constant running water will break it down. That's what you do when you got thoughts in your mind that does not comply with the word of God. You got to wash it and wash it and wash it and wash it until you destroy it and it no longer exists. But what we do, we teeter-totter. You know, you've seen the baby when they learn to walk, we call them a teeter-totter. They don't have stability about them. So what we do, we play a mind game. Today, I'm in my pity party. Tomorrow, I act like I'm victorious. Tomorrow, I don't know where I am. I'm oppressed, depressed, suppressed, almost out of it. These are mind games where you can take the word and keep washing it and keep washing it and keep washing it. We didn't say nothing about your feelings. You based on your feelings, you're going to die. And you're going to have a lot of mountains of problems in your mind. A lot of, you know, we hear a lot about young people being in anxiety and depression. It's because of all the sin that's coming at them. The mind can't handle it. It can't process it. It don't, it's no redeeming factor in the mind. Whew, Jesus. But he says, it's our assignment to make it come into agreement with the new us. And the only way you can do that is by the washing of the word. Whoa, hallelujah. So the watering of the word is like washing away the hard places that is calcified over time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, we got all this tradition and stuff that we got built up in our minds that are non-spiritual. As a matter of fact, I did write me an extra note down here. I says, let me, because, you know, there's something. Okay, I'll bring it up with the next point. Okay. Okay, let's go down to verse, where am I now? Let me get my bearings here. We're at Mark 4, look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Turn to Jeremiah 5:3-5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. I want to read this out of the Voice translation. Hallelujah. You say, what? I ain't never heard of that. That's all right. You're going to hear it this morning. Come on. Jeremiah, O Eternal One, aren't you looking for truth and integrity? You struck them, but they did not flinch. You destroyed them, but they did not yield to your correction. They wouldn't change their ways. They have set their stony faces against you, defiant and determined, refusing to repent. And I thought to myself, how could they know any better? They are poor and senseless people, unfamiliar with the ways of the Eternal One, unaware of what their God requires. So I will go to their leaders and share what I see. They will do the right thing because they know the Eternal's ways. Surely they will do what their God requires. But to a person, I was wrong. Leaders were no different. They too had broken the yoke, burst the bonds, and pulled away from God's guidance and correction. So we see this the word has fell amongst the thorns. And that's key. I need you to hear that. Now let's read this from Jeremiah 5:3-9 from the Message. But you, God, have an eye for truth, don't you? You hit them hard, but it didn't faze them. You disciplined them, but they refused correction. Hard-headed, harder than rock, they wouldn't change. Then I said to myself, well, these are just poor people. They don't know any better. They were never taught anything about God. They never went to prayer meetings. I find some people from the best families. I'll talk to them. They'll know what's going on, the way God works. They'll know the score, but they are no better. Rebels all off doing their own thing. The invaders are ready to pounce, and like a mountain lion, a wilderness wolf, panthers on the prowl, the streets aren't safe anymore. And why? Because the people's sins are piled sky high. Their betrayers are past counting. Why should I even bother with you any longer? Your children wander off, leaving me, taken up with gods that aren't even gods. I satisfied their deepest needs, and then they went off with the sacred whores, left me for orgies and sex shrines, a bunch of well-groomed, lusty stallions, each one pawing and snorting for his neighbor's wife. Do you think I'm going to stand around and do nothing? This is God talking. God's decree. Don't you think I'll take serious measures against a people like this? Ha ha, Jesus. So we see the stony person, this type of person refuses to change their old stinking habits. Even though their habits are keeping them bound and imprisoned to a fallen way of living. But they're more familiar with the fallen than they are interested in being where God needs them to be. See, they've learned a pattern of just doing something because they can finagle. It's kind of like a street person. You know, they get used to, you know, hitting a little this and hitting a little that because they know how to finagle the street. Then you bring them into a refined environment. It's so foreign to them. Even though this is better for them, it's going to be less strenuous upon them. They don't have to toil at it. They ain't got to lie to get it. They ain't got to tell somebody a lie just to get their money. But instead of changing to fit the new environment, they try to drag the old environment to the new. Because they won't change their ways. Woo, Jesus. They are trying to blend their way with God's way, and holding fast to this position of error causes them to never, say never, bring anything of spiritual significance to fruition. You never see them walk in victory in none of the areas of their life. They just go from one chaos to another chaos. As soon as you think they got momentum going, look like they're doing okay, there's another chaos. Your life shouldn't be like that. You should not be living from one chaos to another chaos. Turn to Matthew 15. Are you learning? Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Matthew 15, verse 5. See, he talks about your traditions. It's what makes the word of none effect. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, whatever support, and I'm reading this out of the NRSV translation, whatever support you might have had from me, I gave it to God. You know that's a lie. Because they didn't bring that seed to church. They didn't bring it to church. See, it's a commandment that children, as you get older, and your parents are getting older, you're supposed to look out for your parents. Our culture has never really been big on that. If dad and mama don't have nothing, the children don't have nothing either. And whatever they got, they're not giving it to dad and mama. It's all for them. Woo, Jesus. He says, woo, you make void. He says, look, let's go back. Whatever support you might have had from me is given to God. Then that person need not honor their father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines, speaking of an erroneous saying. Let me help clarify a statement. I heard a young lady say recently, she stated that healing is a byproduct of salvation. Don't you ever say that again. Because it's erroneous. And if you plant that, it's going to create error. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. Are you listening online? You're going to learn something you never heard before. A byproduct is usually a lesser quality than the original. That's how you get your generics. From the authentic. So to say that healing is a byproduct of salvation is to say that it's a lesser form of salvation. That's erroneous. Healing is salvation. Wealth and riches is salvation. Strong, good relationships is salvation. Salvation covers every facet, every part, every detail of your life. All of you is salvation. You're either saved or you're not. Now, what you don't do is this. Most people don't come into understanding by planting the word in every part of their life. So it looks like, say it looks like, that you got a byproduct. Oh, no. Salvation has covered it all. And no part is lesser than the other. We need all other parts to be whole. And God, Jesus came to make us whole, not healed, whole. See, something as simple as that statement, it sounds noble, it sounds right, but it goes against the truth of the word. And if you don't pluck that up, it will grow into a tree. And that one erroneous statement will invade and impact your entire walk as a believer. Why? It will make you not reach for what is already yours. Because you think it's an option. Because most byproducts are options. I can buy the generic or I can buy the brand name. It's not an option. You're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be rich. Because that's you. That's salvation. That's what Jesus died for. And anybody that says differently, they're teaching a lie. Sometimes people teach not because they're deliberately trying to lie to you. They don't know any better. So we see here that in this stony place, this person, there's a refusal to change habits that will cause the uprooting of the bad stuff and put in the good. Don't get stuck in your old ways. Sometimes you get so stuck in your old ways of doing stuff, you don't allow for God to do nothing different in you. My daughter was messing with me yesterday. I went to my grandson's soccer game. They just having fun. None of you going to look like they're going to be playing soccer. They're not playing soccer. They're just having fun. But they got a t-shirt and all that on. They got the cleats and all. They look cute, but they ain't playing soccer. They just having fun. Because nobody, they just kick the ball and just run everywhere. So, but anyway, I had on this certain color wig yesterday. And it was red with a little bit of streak of orange going through it. She said, "Mama, what is this with all this hair?" I said, "Change is good." Hey, what's wrong? What's wrong? You can't handle that? Look, let me tell y'all online. You might see me with short hair, long hair, in between hair, blonde hair, red hair, blue hair. It don't matter. I change my hair. And as long as they keep making them, that's what mama do. If it looks good, I'll wear it. So, you know, that. See, you can't get stuck. You can't get stuck. You need to change your hairdo every now and then. And what's so funny, that same daughter of mine that loved me so much, whenever she want to change her hairdo, she does. They don't come call me and say, "Mom, you think I need to change my hairdo?" But she's always picking on me. But that's why I love her, because, you know, she got the right to voice it. Don't mean I got to hear it, but, you know. Just like I voiced my opinion about her hairstyle. She don't pay it no mind. If that's what she thinks she look good in. And eventually, guess what? You adjust. You look at it long enough, you adjust. I might wear it 2 weeks and then you adjust. Hey, put your glasses on, you adjust the next time. So we don't want to get stuck in a rut when it comes to the word. Stay open. All right. And some, look at the next verse. "And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that have ears to hear, let him hear." So look at Isaiah 55:10. You're going to like this one. See, this person deliberately paid attention, planted the word, and kept right on watering it, and they got a harvest. Not because they didn't have issues. Not because they didn't have things coming against them. Isaiah 55 reads like this, "Are you there?" I want to read it from the Living Bible. "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and stay upon the ground to water the earth, and cause the grain to grow and to produce seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. So also is my word. I send it out and it always," say always, "produces fruit," whether it be in you or somebody else, it's always producing fruit. Two people can be sitting in the same room, hear the same word, and one get a harvest and one won't. Because it's not about whether the rain is coming or the seed is being sown. It's about the soil. Woo, Jesus. It shall accomplish all I want it to and prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. Hey, that's why I said you can't go from chaos to chaos. There ought to be some times in your life where there's joy and peace. The mountains and hills, the trees of the field, all the world around you will rejoice. Where once were thorns. Oh, so they had some issues too. They had some thorns and some sticky briars. What got rid of it? The word. Fir trees will grow where there used to be thorns. Fir trees. If you know anything about fir trees, they are gorgeous. You ever have a Christmas fir tree, they are apt, and they're thick and they're lush and they're beautiful. They grow really tall. Fir trees. And they're very expensive, even as an artificial Christmas tree. It can cost you more than any other kind of Christmas tree. I've had a few of them. Ah. He says, the fir trees would grow where briars grew. The myrtle trees would sprout up. See, they did something to get rid of the thorns and the briars. They kept right on watering when it didn't look like it made sense. They kept right on putting that word in the same place. They kept doing it. They kept doing it. This miracle make the Lord's name very great. And be an everlasting sign of God's power and love. Why does the devil want to stop you from having a harvest? Because your harvest is a sign of God's greatness. Amen. And his love for you. That's why he's trying to keep you from having a harvest. So you look like a disgrace to God. That God can't finish what he got started in you. And it's not God that's the problem. So we see that it's our responsibility to keep that word consistently going in our ears and beginning to break down those calcified areas of our mind that have been built up over time, wrong teaching, growing up in the wrong kind of, your parents might not have treated you right, rejection, the spirit of rejection. All these kind of things are filtered through the soul. That's where they lodge. They're not in your heart. They're in your soul. That's why you can pull it up at a moment notice. Because it's lodged in your subconscious. And it's attached to the body. So whatever the soul says, the body has to do. Because the body follows the dictates of the soul. This is why you got to get that soul to become in agreement with the new you. Otherwise, it's going to continue to do what makes it fail. Now go back to Mark 4. Let's go down to where Jesus began to explain. And we're just going to read it because are you really hearing what it takes? That means my diet has to change when it comes to this word. I cannot make it a snack. Too much is hinged on it for me to make the word a snack. My grandbaby loves snacks. He doesn't care. He just likes snacks. That was one of the things kids kept telling me yesterday. You got to go play first to get the snack. No, I want the snack. It was so funny. Because he knew the snacks were coming, but he wasn't ready to play yet. He wanted the snack first. But see, snacks are not what make your body run. They are fillers. It's more like a treat. It does not bring longevity to the body. It does not even, some most time, provide energy. It's just something we like because of the taste of it. Look at verse 14. This is Jesus teaching. The sower soweth the word. I'm sowing the word this morning. Receive the seed of the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And Jesus explained in the parable to their disciples. He said, these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Yeah, they liked it, but they wouldn't change their ways. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, because they didn't go into this to defend the word, immediately they are offended. You're gonna have to defend the word that you planted. If you ever had a garden outside, how many of you know you have to do something to fight off the little mites and all that attack themselves to your tomatoes? And there's a little war you have to engage in if you're gonna have a harvest. You don't get collard greens and tomatoes and cucumbers without a war. Because got pests out there that's coming up out of the ground. They're coming from the birds. The cat might get in your plant. Anything can attack your garden. But they wouldn't fight for it. So the plant, what was the point of putting it in the ground if you're not going to fight to have the harvest? That's a waste of seed. To hear the word and never desire to do anything with it, that's wasted seed. And when you go to reach for it, you think you deserve a harvest because you sat in church and you listened to me say something. But if you don't plant it, you'll never get a harvest. And you might even agree with what I'm saying today. Those online, you might even agree. You might even like it. It might be exciting. But if you don't plant it, you can't eat from it. You can't spend this. You can't use it the way you've been trying to use it. It's got to get into you and become a harvest in you. And this has been the crop failure of most believers, because we won't plant what we hear. We think hearing only is going to bring us to harvest. No, you have to plant it. Because according to Matthew 5, and I'll read this again, we said last Sunday, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they are the ones that will receive the harvest. Those that are hungry enough to plant it and see it all the way through. See, you have the ability to see it all the way through. Otherwise, God won't let you hear this word. It will make no sense to God for you to hear this word, and then you don't have the ability to fulfill it. Yeah, you can do this, but you got to change some of your stinking habits. You got to stop talking like a sinner. You know. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, he's telling you every time you say it, you're just not checking yourself. You're ignoring him. He tell me, why you keep saying that? Just like this morning, I got up, and the devil tried to bring to my memory something somebody said to me 2 days ago that was annoying, and trying to interfere with what I got to do this morning, and trying to bring it up so I can bring it out of my mouth and talk about it. I said, I ain't talking to you. You better get your hind part somewhere and leave me alone. And I start praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm taking my bath. I'm getting myself dressed. And he's still trying to bring it up as though I said, you know what? I'm not offended with the person. So you might as well leave me alone, because I'm not going to turn it into an offense. You're not going to stop what I got to say today, because you mad. I see you. You're a nasty little joker. I call him something else, but you can't say it on the tape. I call him the Big N. Well, that's as close as I can get to saying on YouTube. Everybody in America ought to know what the Big N is. But that's what I called him. I said, you low down dog. The nerve of you to try to mess with me just before I go to church. See, he doesn't care. He doesn't have any regards for what you got to do and who you want to be. He's trying to enforce his ideas on you. And it's up to you to reject them. If you later tell me, yeah, I heard that you play with it. Okay, we'll see you in the depression hole. Yeah. A lot of people are depressed because they're lazy. They just don't want to do nothing. They want everything to happen for them. They're just lazy. Get out and get a job. Let your blood start flowing. It'll remove depression. Get up and walk for 30 minutes a day. You'll be surprised how you get relieved of a lot of your anxieties and your headaches and all that other kind of stuff that come with people that don't do nothing. I may not go to the gym, but I know how to walk. I let my young children go to the gym. I got my gym at home. I can do 3 miles in my house in a day. I got almost every kind of piece of apparatus that you can work out on in my house. I don't need a gym. I just got to be what? Faithful to it. Got to get up and do it. Because guess what? That machine not going to call my name and come get me and put me on it. It's not going to do it. If I don't go to it, it's not coming to me. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.